can't do it.
I'm doing the podcast.
We'll do it live.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Year, and today is a special episode because there's no burger and your host is the shaman. Big Blue All Year is the podcast that brings you New York Football Giants content all year long, while your host toe-tap the line of scrimmage between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Tonight's episode of Big Blue All Year is not brought to you by anyone. Insert sponsor here. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Big Blue All Year and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Adult content ahead, because you know we're doing it live. But first, let's get through the headlines. And for that, we get into a segment that lets my distinguished partner stick on a headline, talk about, or kick it to the next one. So, Mac.
Happy to be here, Shaman.
Disciple.
Hey, hey.
Answer me that age-old playground taunt. Are you kicking it? Or are you sticking? Look who's talking in Miami.
Yeah, I'm going to stick this one. There was a TV still of Bill Belichick and Joe Judge talking on the sidelines at the Miami Pro Day. Love to see it. They still got that connection. Bill Belichick obviously still loves the Giants, always has. Tears up when the Giants are mentioned. There's a special soft place in his heart. They were there at Miami Pro Day watching Gregory Rousseau, Quincy Roach, Jalen Phillips, and Brevin Jordan, the tight end. So you got to love it. I love that Joe Judge is out here attending these pro days. Him and P. Graham out here. Got to love it. Giants are active at the college pro days.
No, he stuck the landing.
John Mara sat down for an interview last week.
I'm also going to stick this one because John Mara had a conversation with Ian O'Connor of the NY Post. He doesn't usually speak to the media, but when he does, he kind of speaks softly, carries a big stick, right? So basically, he laid out some expectations. He wants playoffs or bust. I love it. I'm happy he came out and literally said, these are what I'm expecting, and anything less is disappointment. Good for him. Let's fucking go.
No, he stuck the landing.
Okay, I like that energy you got there. Giants free agency continues.
Ooh, this feels weird, everybody, to be on this side of the aisle. But Mac is going to have to stick this one. So a couple of notes since our last update. I believe the day we last recorded, Ryan Anderson, the outside linebacker, edge player, formerly of the Washington football team, was signed by the Giants. Former Alabama guy. I think he's going to be a rotational person on the edge, a la a Kyle Fackrell type, a little bit younger, maybe a little bit higher upside, but he's there for depth. And then the bigger name, at least, and literally the bigger human, 6'2", 345-pounder, Danny Shelton, has officially signed with the Giants. 12th overall pick, formerly of the Patriots, was there with Joe Judge, was recently with the Lions, I believe. So crossover with Patricia and the executive, Kyle O'Brien. So, I mean, the guy's only 27. He's a massive man. And I think between him on $2 million and re-signing Austin Johnson for $3 million, you're getting essentially a lot of Dalvin Tomlinson production for one-third of his price this year. And then in breaking news, Giants signed former Titans DB Joshua Kalu and Chris Milton, and most recently of the Cowboys tight end Cole Hikutini. I will say, though, I think that that's nothing more than camp bodies and roster depth. So,
John and Becky. The landing.
Next one's for the brand, my boy Pat McAfee, one of the only people to talk nicely about the Giants in the media. So, Riley Dixon's future, what do you got?
Mac is back at it again, and I am going to punt or kick this one. There's been a lot of talk about him being a cap hit just due to how much money he's getting. I think it's a little over $2 million, but he's solid, had an okay at best year last year. A report came out this last week that there is, quote unquote, no indication the Giants are looking to make a change. I'm kicking it.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Jordan Renan continues to be a squid.
I got to stick this one, man. Jordan Renan has gotten to the lower tier of my Giants beat writers power rankings. I would even put him below Pat Leonard. That's a huge deal because if you know my history of Pat Leonard, I really don't like the guy. But honestly, he's risen in the court of my public opinion. Renan is at the bottom. So when the Dolphins traded back, Jordan Renan made a little comment. He tweeted saying, "This makes Dave Gettleman and Saquon Barkley look even dumber for, you know, keeping the pick and getting a running back at two as opposed to trading back." And Saquon Barkley himself liked it. I love the pettiness. Fuck no, yes, he Saquon. Stuck the landing. Back to you, Shaman.
And finally, we have a special shout out from Mac.
Justin, we love you. Happy birthday, man. Justin Tuck turns 38 yesterday. I hope my man is COVID safely celebrating and enjoying his special day. We miss you. I miss your sack celebration. I am currently bowing to you as I speak, good sir. Your jersey's in the other room. I love you. I hope you had a great day. Justin Tuck, ladies and gentlemen, take a bow.
That does it for this week's headlines. Now, a word from our non-sponsor.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Did Dave Gettleman cry wee, wee, wee all the way home after signing Kenny Golladay? Wee! We got a wide receiver one! Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
And now, back to the show. All right, boys, now for the main topic. Free agency recaps. Because the NFC East, there's been some movement. Let's start off with the Eagles.
All right. This is what we're looking at with this lowly, lowly franchise. And God, it makes me feel good. A lot of losses for the Eagles. So Jalen Mills, safety, Jonathan Ford, Cameron Johnson, I believe just a punter, Duke Riley, Malik Jackson, and DeSean Jackson have all found their homes with different teams this offseason. Now, the Eagles have signed a few people. I think the biggest news with the Eagles is obviously the Carson Wentz situation, trade to the Colts that we have talked about at length, and then their most recent trade back to the 12th pick in the draft. I think those are by far their two biggest moves because they picked up Andrew Adams, former Giant, actually, Anthony Harris, Mr. Joe Flacco, and then a guy by the name of Hassan Ridgeway. So Anthony Harris will most likely be their starter at safety. Andrew Adams is going to get some snaps. I don't know jack about Hassan. And, you know, Joe is probably never going to see the field. So not a lot of movement for the Eagles. That's what they got.
Nobody wants to play in Philadelphia.
Good.
That's what
karmic rebalance.
Yeah, but they're going to be smart and they're going to be smarter about.
They're not going to be smart. Their version of smart is like.
We're going to be simple so we can be smart so our team can be good.
It's an organization run by Charlie's. Always Sunny.
And Nick Sirianni. He's stupid football bitch. Can't even mess.
Eagles.
What is it? The birds of war. That's how they come out to every meeting.
you have to get that in there.
Oh, gotcha.
We got to give it to me.
Of course. Shaman, drop that in, please. All right. Let's keep it going, boys. Let's talk about them rawhide cowgirls.
Oh, well, I mean, listen. Not much has really happened with the Cowboys. They basically re-signed Dak Prescott to a monster deal.
Which he deserves. Let's be fair and say he deserves that 100%.
He's a good quarterback. He plays to win, man. He's a competitive motherfucker.
And I will say that publicly. I like Dak as a quarterback. He's a piece of shit for playing on the Cowboys, but I like him as a quarterback.
Nah, he's a good man, too. Like, I can't hate him. But like, he's so good against the Giants.
But he made his bank, bro, and I like when people make their money.
To give you an idea of the psychosis that has been passed down in my family, thank you, Big Mac. is, to your point, if Dak truly was a good person, he would say no to the money and be like, I don't want to be a part of the Cowboys organization.
Oh, this is a bad place to be.
That's right. This taints my soul.
I mean, it was basically that. Low-level signings. They did see the departures of people like Joe Looney. Actually, Sean Lee is a free agent. I heard he was a free agent that the Giants were interested in him. I was like, whoa. It was like in The Sopranos, like,
oh.
All these fucking Italians.
Oh.
Hey.
I'm signing here.
Hey, Copernicus. What does he say? Why don't you go to the front of the line with your feet in the shirt?
That's your domain, sir.
No idea what you're referencing.
It's Family Guy. It's out of my depth.
Yep.
It's a cutscene. It's just a cutscene. It's like, and now we return to cutting Italians in line, and some guy just cuts like Italians at the line.
I actually do remember
at
that.
The DMV. It's like, oh, hey, yo.
All right, but enough about Family Guy. And I was going to quote something, but I don't want to embarrass myself by fucking up this classical quote, but I'm going to do it anyway. What is a name? Right? Is that reference to anything?
At
least spare me my name. The nameless Washington.
The Crucible.
Ah, yes. The second Crucible reference Big Blue All Year has made in the last 12 months. However, I don't think we're done about the Cowboys. They had a laundry list here.
They lost Aldon Smith, who's still a free agent. Andy Dalton they lost as their backup quarterback. They signed a long snapper. They signed DT Carlos Watkins, Keanu Neal.
Terrell Basham.
I don't know if he signed... No. They signed J'Ron Curse, the safety. Yeah.
But
it was basically Dak Prescott and a bunch of, like, you know, mid-tier to low-level signings because, I mean, dude, with that contract.
They were in last place in the division. I get it. Dak was hurt. How many of these signings are going to help them progress in the division? I don't see any of these being.
They need to have a good defensive draft.
They're not major
their defense
players.
Is their weakness.
Exactly. And they have a quarterback coming off a massive injury, which they gave him bank. And who knows how his rehab was?
Honestly, I think his rehab is going to go good.
Me. This division doesn't scare me.
Mike McCarthy doesn't scare me.
It's a weird
thing. I will say they were third in the division. And I will say that barring some unforeseen circumstance, as gruesome as his injury looked, a break of the ankle in that manner is far less concerning than significant ligament damage of like a knee or something like that. So I do think that Dak is going to come back. There is zero reasons other than maybe complete degradation of their offensive line. There's zero reasons they shouldn't have a top five offense, but truly I think they will continue to have an unbelievably terrible defense. I mean, Keanu Neal is the biggest signing there. He's coming off significant injuries and he's essentially a box safety, not what the Cowboys need.
And who's got
a? They need a corner. They need a corner because they also didn't they lose Awuzie? Yeah.
Yes, Chidobe Awuzie. Awuzie, and Xavier Woods. Yeah. I mean, I think the writing is. We can get into this in the next few weeks, but I think the writing's on the wall that the Cowboys will be picking. Perhaps not Caleb Farley now with that back injury, but J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain. Yeah. I think that's almost destined to happen. One of those two players.
Shall we digress into the Washington football team?
I think we shall, Mac.
Well, I disagree with the usage of that word in this context. yes, we shall.
Anything disciple digresses on is a digression.
Sure, let it be. Let the man speak his gospel. Who am I? A mere mortal.
Yeah, you're speaking blasphemy.
So, all right, Washington football team, this is, I think, the scariest team in the division. Now, I will save my ire from the national media and how absurdly, ridiculously positive they are, how quickly they forgot that this team had a losing record and won, and how quickly they forget that Ryan Fitzpatrick, albeit a solid quarterback, I don't think he's that much better than Alex Smith. He's 38. He's not the future, and he has never been to the playoffs in his history. And everybody is losing their minds about the Washington football team.
Can I ask
but you? I digress.
Can I ask a quick question about Fitzpatrick? Do you know his contract? Is it 1 year?
I believe it's 1 year, $10 million.
Statistically, I saw a statistic on him where he plays exceptionally well in contract years. So I think signing him to a 1 year might be the move.
Well, the man's 38. They're not making any type of commitment to him. But my pushback on that, two things are true. The NFC East has not had a repeat champion, I believe, since 03, 04, 04, or 05. It's one of those two. So in that time, no repeat champion. That fact invalidates Washington football. They're not winning. Second fact, as I said, Ryan Fitzpatrick in his career has never been to the playoffs. So Washington has some major historical hurdles to come to overcome to win the NFC East. However, talent on the roster outside of that position might not be part of the issue. So yeah, they lost Ronald Darby, Kevin Pierre-Louis, Robert Foster, Ryan Anderson, whom the Giants took. Those are the losses for the Washington football team. Ronald Darby's probably the biggest hit there. I believe he was a starter, but he's no, you know, big time threat at the cornerback position. And their addition there, the William Jackson flip for Ronald Darby, is a huge win for the Washington football team. So just going down the line, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Lamar Miller, Adam Humphries, Curtis Samuel, some depth signing on the offensive line with David Sharp, Tyler Larson, big move in retaining Brandon Scherff. They stole David Mayo from us. Oh, shucks. As I mentioned, William Jackson from the Bengals, huge signing, and then some more depth with Danny Johnson and Daryl Roberts, two other cornerbacks, and they also kept Dustin Hopkins, their kicker. So I think on paper, if you want to buy into the idea that Ryan Fitzpatrick is an upgrade in any capacity from Alex Smith, the Washington football team has had a very successful offseason, adding an impact player on both sides of the ball and retaining what I would say is their most important piece on the offensive line. So they, as I said, history is against them in 2021, but on paper, you know, he might be 38, but aside from that quarterback question in the future, I think the Washington football team has the best and the deepest roster in the NFC East.
I mean, I would agree with that, but at the same time, this is the same Ryan Fitzpatrick that in 2015 or 16 had the 10-5 Jets on the verge of a playoff berth, goes into Buffalo and lays the biggest egg I ever seen. Four picks. It was a disgusting. It was Fitz tragic. You never know what you're going to get with the guy. I can't trust him. And don't be surprised if you see more Taylor Heineke out of the Washington football team after that playoff game.
Is Fitzpatrick like the guaranteed starter? I thought they were going to competing.
Yeah, they're competing. All right.
They could say that, sure. I would be surprised.
And Kyle Allen, too, right? Isn't he on that shit?
I believe he is still on the team, yes. He also suffered a pretty gruesome ankle injury at the hands of the New York Giants as well.
Yeah, that was fucked. It's just sometimes how the guys fall.
Or was his knee? Was it Jabril Peppers?
It was Jabril Peppers got, like, thrown by the tackle into his ankle or something. It was like, really fucking freak accident, man.
It was ugly.
I hate seeing gruesome injuries like that.
All right, boys. Let's get into what we're actually here to talk about, and that's the New York football Giants. Let's have a quick in memoriam on who we lost.
Sound the cannons, sir, for three, frankly, some of my favorite Giants of the last 12 months. If for no other, you know, their play on the field and also their names, as you'll see in a moment. We talked a lot about Dalvin Tomlinson, big man, literally, figuratively. He leaves a hole in the Giants roster. Although I will double down on the fact that I think the bigger impact we'll lose is him as a leader in the locker room and a presence in the community. He's a valuable player, but I think the Giants are going to replace that production well enough for the savings that we're going to have on his contract. The next one, Zeitler, we cut him. I freaked out about it in the moment. Based on how this offseason has gone with contracts, I understand. He is now a Baltimore Raven. More on that to come because the offensive line, surprise, surprise, from Mac talking about the offensive line will be a focal point. And then a Mr. Kyle Fackrell, Heedley, Headley. I liked him. I really thought he was going to come back. Good edge setter, decent pass rusher, just a solid guy to have on the roster. I believe he left us for the Chargers, if I'm not correct. So, three
Rams,
fallen Giants.
Tyler Fackrell?
Is that right?
I think it might have been the Rams. I could be wrong.
I could. No, it's the Chargers.
Oh, I was wrong.
Okay. Yes. Yes, you are.
The only one that hurt me was the Dalvin one.
Yeah.
He was a good Giant. He was good in the community. It sucks, but you can't pay everybody. And then we have Dexter Lawrence. We can't forget about him, and we have to pay.
I don't like to toot my own horn, but I did predict that Dalvin Tomlinson would walk.
I do believe you did. I think I was on the opposite side of that aisle. I really thought we would bring the band back together with the big fatties, but
yeah, I knew it was just inevitable, man. It sucks, but what are you going to do? But there's still a lot of free agents. I mean, listen, the Giants, nobody signed Wayne Gallman. Nobody signed, who else? They had a bunch of free agents.
I don't even think you need it. You can replace them through the draft. Get somebody younger who's just as good.
Yeah.
Better with better upside. It hurt to see him go because of who he was as a Giant. I don't think that it's irreversible decision. I think we can improve through the draft.
Two last things on that, and we can move on. I agree and disagree. I agree in the sense that history has proven that. Why we made fun of this and why it was so obviously going to happen is that the Giants have been doing this for over a decade.
That's what we do.
Drafting a defensive tackle in the second or third rounds, getting solid 4 years of production, letting them leave, and then drafting another guy with not a significant, dip between some of these people. So I think the other half of that is that signing Danny Shelton, though, means that the Giants don't have to spend a pick in this year's draft to replace that. They can. I'd be fine with it, but it's now not a must.
No, we'll get into that in future episodes. But listen, let's not be sad on what we've lost, because in all things destroyed and in death, there is rebirth and greatness. Who do we sign, boys? I know there's some good ones in there.
Let me tell you something. I believe it was Aristotle, one of those fucking scientists, said, "Matter cannot be created nor destroyed," so keep that energy.
Aristotle's a philosopher. I'm just going to say that right now.
Or was it Isaac Newton? This is the anywho. So obviously, the marquee signing was Kenny Golladay, wide receiver formerly of the Detroit Lions.
Awesome.
Dory Jackson, you had from the Titans, the cornerback. The Giants also gained tight end Kyle Rudolph. Love to see it. Danny Shelton, defensive tackle. D lineman, I think he's more of a DE than a edge rusher. Ifeati Odenigbo. You got off the ball linebacker to compete with the spot next to Blake Martinez. That would be Reggie Ragland. Burner John Ross with that 4.29 speed in the combine. Obviously, you remember. They got a new backup quarterback. Colt McCoy left the Giants, but we got Mike Glennon, who is an upgrade. Offensive guard, formerly the Texans, Zach Fulton. They signed running back Devontae Booker. We talked about Ryan Anderson. They got Jonathan Harrison, formerly of the Jets, the center. Breland Speaks, defensive lineman, and fullback Cullen Gillespie, formerly of the Texans as well. Pretty good free agent haul, I must say.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, like Edelman said, he had to get his batting average up. He did great last offseason. This offseason, knocked it out of the park again. Need to see a great fucking draft. Giants only have 6 draft picks. We need to capitalize, use them to the best of our advantage to win now.
But I don't understand. What were you saying?
I was just going to say, as optimistic as I too am, or M2, I am not willing to commit to him. He looks great in spring training. Yeah, Dave Gettleman is hitting home runs down in Florida. I am not willing to give my stamp of approval. There is a scenario where this implodes on the Giants. They just handed out a lot of guaranteed money to 2 individuals coming off serious missed time and injuries over the last few years. So I'm not trying to douse the flames of our optimism right now. All I'm saying is, yes, great. We think he did great again. We will know this fall. I don't think any of us were this jacked up about James Bradberry last year at this time. I think probably some of us were concerned about the money that we gave to a decent cornerback. Adoree Jackson is just a bigger name at this point in time. So I don't know. I'm just going to say I'm withholding my judgments on how this will turn out until I see them on the field. But yes, a lot of reasons to be excited. I'll give you that.
But doesn't this go against pretty much everything people in the media said last year? Oh, no one's going to want to play for Joe Judge. He's making them sign. You know what? You can just hear it for yourselves.
Roll that tape, baby.
Who in the world is Joe Judge? It doesn't seem like the Giants is an organization where people want to go, or a marquee organization in a way that we think it is.
Wait a minute. Live tackling, really? Is that done much in today's game anymore?
If y'all mess up, y'all finna have to bear crawl. If y'all mess up, y'all running wind sprints. Those are tactics you use on kids.
How is the tune? How has it been so provenly false that people don't want to play for the Giants? Actually, turns out people will turn down money to come play for the Giants.
But yeah. No, nobody wants to be held accountable. No one wants to play tough football. If there's tackling in practice, we just won't want to play.
They got to run laps. Oh, professional athletes have to run in a circle.
I know. What the fuck? Get the fuck out of here. It's so stupid, bro. I'm so happy. And like, you know, and you know, I talked some shit about Colin Cowherd, but he did have one great fucking take about Joe Judge. And not only before the season, like everybody said, you know, 2-14 after they made the run laps, but Cowherd after the season was like, you know, talking about this Doug Peterson shit. And I feel like this is really the turning point that they saw what was happening over the summer. People love playing during the training camp, whatever. He's hosing off the people and jumping in the mud and all that bullshit. And but I'm talking about in January or whatever it was, December 31st or whatever, Joe Judge is basically talking about Doug Peterson and saying like, yo, we work too fucking hard. Like we go, too many people go through too much shit to ever, you know, tank a game or whatever. And Colin Cowherd was like, yo, he's speaking his gospel. Like, this is a sales pitch to free agents. And I think that's really what inspired a lot of this. Maybe not, because, I mean, 6-10, it's kind of a tough sell. And they see that, and then they look back, and they see everything that happened over the course of the season. You know, I love Joe Judge. I really hope we got the right guy long-term, like fucking Chuck Knoll type shit.
Winners want to be held accountable. That's the, you know, we don't hear. There was all this talk in the news in the last few days about how Bruce Arians came out and shot something across the bow of the Bucks about, hey, you better be coming to bring it in camp because there isn't going to be no Super Bowl hangover. We got a mission. Now, yes, Bruce Arians has a longer tenure, a bigger resume, obviously coming off a Super Bowl win. But all the time in the media, they applaud. Right. Well, in case in point, they applaud how Tom Brady holds his team accountable and pushes them and has this extreme competitiveness. And yet, all of a sudden, because it's coming from the coach, it's outdated and old school thinking. I believe that this free agent cycle has disproven that. Now, results wait to be seen, but you know, a guy like Logan Ryan doesn't spend a year with the Giants, feel like he is being, and then decide to voluntarily sign a 3-year extension and then go out there publicly parading around about how great it is to be a Giant and why they need to be in the building. Like that, he doesn't volunteer to do that if Joe Judge is not a leader of men. And, you know, Kyle Rudolph, a veteran, we talked about it when he signed, but he said he had about a dozen other teams who wanted his services. And quote unquote, after talking to Joe Judge, I knew New York was where we had to be. Like, what more can you say other than
literally,
like, people have dropped the ball. Obviously, this was blown over bullshit about hard work is tough and we're soft and we want money and no tackling. I don't know. It's fucking stupid.
No, honestly, Judge. I love that fucking Kyle Rudolph shit. Makes me proud, man.
Yo, and shout out Kyle Rudolph for the drip too.
But hold on.
The illest suit.
It's just crazy how he's just doing everything he said he fucking would. And last January, Joe Judge, like, I want to make this blue collar, you know, background people proud to wear Giants shit again. And I'm like, dude, like, I feel that, like, dude, man, like, I'm so happy, man. I really think we got our guy.
For being the only one of the Big Blue All Year crew that actually lives in the city, I wear my Giants shit proud. But not because of how the team plays. It's because I feel better than being a Jets fan.
Nice. That's
literally all it is. And they rock their shit loud and proud all the time. So,
yeah, well, they're embarrassing for so many different reasons. the one last piece I'll mention on this is, you know, we mocked how much Gettleman talked about culture. And I just think the general manager can bring in players that align. But they just have a less impact on the actual like culture within a locker room. And what is culture, right? What is integrity? Culture is what your team is doing when you're not there to monitor them. You know, if it's just players on players, what's being done when nobody else is watching? And I believe Adoree Jackson made this point about why, quote unquote, the Giants felt like home is he had people that he knew in Darnay Holmes and Jabril Peppers and obviously Logan Ryan with the connection he had there. And I don't have the quote in front of me, but he went on to say, and apply this to your lives in the office. You know, when you're the new guy walking into the office, you can't step in on and on your first day, be like, oh, excuse me, I think perhaps you should be working harder, Mr. Coworker. Like, you'll be a fucking asshole. And you know, like that's never going to happen. But you come into a place where you're familiar and people have a certain level of accountability, like you're going to toe their line. You're going to elevate yourself. That's culture. That's integrity. And the Giants are building a roster that will allow people with lesser talents to elevate their play because they're committed to the work. That's what we're talking about when it comes to culture. And winners want that. They don't want this fucking bullshit. So results will be what they will be. We got to wait and see how that happens. But you cannot argue that this commitment to excellence is having a positive trend on the outlook of the franchise as a location to come in free agency.
Hey, who knows? Maybe in 10 years, instead of hearing about the Patriots way, you're hearing about the Giants way. Like, you know, you never know.
How fun.
I read a great comment online saying that the Giants are becoming the new culture team that people want to play for. And you pretty much just sums what like you said perfectly, Mac. But that brings me to another point. Do we owe Dave Gettleman an apology?
Yes, I think we do.
Okay.
Why? It's just like there's just the Gettle Grumps that are just
– Is that a new one? Did you just
No. This is a long-time Twitter term. I'm not a Gettle –
I got to get on that tweeter.
All right, so there's the Gettle Grumps, which are like the dick negative Nancys when it comes to Gettleman. And then there's the Gettle Lovers. Like, this man might be the most fucking polarizing figure this organization has ever seen. Like, there's a lot of people that say, like, you know, trust him, trust him, trust him. There's other people that say, you know, fuck anything Dave Gettleman does. Like, all these Siths deal in absolutes. And you know what I mean? Like I like to analyze every move myself. Like, oh, did I like that? Did I not like that? When I first heard it, when I saw the product in the field, did I like it? You know, I don't know. I think that a lot of Giants fans were a little too hard on Dave. The guy's trying, man. He wants to win just as bad as anybody else. He made a huge mistake hiring Pat Shurmur.
Would you like to elaborate on that? Because I know for a fact you got a quote from Mr. Bill Belichick on that.
Oh, yeah,
point,
yeah.
I
should have mentioned that story that came out, obviously. So Bill Belichick called John Mara, before Joe Judge actually interviewed and said, basically, this guy, Joe Judge, he's better than both the last guys you hired. I promise. I mean, what's that really saying? I don't know. It's just that, are they really bad or is this guy really good? I don't know.
It's turning out to be that he might actually be that good.
Dude, he's not even 40 years old, bro. He's younger than Eli Manning.
That's funny.
Sean McVay. Sean McVay out in LA. He's doing it. He's his 30s, right? He's pretty young.
I believe he is the youngest coach in the NFL, yes. Yeah. Or at least he was the youngest when he is hired, whether or not he is still the youngest.
I think Shanahan's 41. Yeah. Joe Judge was 39. Hey, you know,
I love Joe Judge. That
these young coaches can accomplish crazy things.
Young, old, it doesn't matter. Good.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, it doesn't fucking matter how old you are. Like it
helps.
It does it, though? Like, to your point.
Bill Belichick. He's one of the oldest coaches in the league. Bruce Arians, one of the oldest coaches in the league. Their experience has helped them get to where they are. But also in a new age league, you need to kind of fucking be able to juggle shit on the fly, a la these younger coaches. So it's an interesting take to look at because the
and it's game not is only changing. I know the head coach gets all the flack or whatever, but it's a multi-man job, man. And,
yeah, and we have
a multi-person. There's women too, you know. Like this is a collaborative effort from everything, dude. You don't even realize what happens behind the scenes, from the front office to getting the guys, the coaching, developing the guys, training the guys, making sure the guys stay healthy. This is a whole process for 16 days a year. This is the craziest fucking thing in the world. It really
facts,
is.
But, how in-depth like this is. Anybody's job that is not as high profile, there are a myriad of variabilities that happen on a given day that affect the outcome of your job, but eventually the buck stops with somebody. And that is with the head coach. And the same
you're
with the quarterback.
No, you're right.
They get more praise.
General manager, too, you can make that argument.
Yes. And all I'm saying is, you know, Zach Taylor is young. That doesn't mean he's good. He still might be. Matt Nagy is fairly young. That doesn't mean he is good. And to your point, Bill Belichick is old as shit. Does that mean he's out of touch? Pete Carroll, I believe, is the oldest coach in the NFL, and he's a phenomenal coach. And people say they love playing for him, despite the most recent, you know,
he's
Russell
losing
Wilson
his
stuff.
Star right now. Yeah, exactly.
Perhaps, but I think anybody in the NFL would sell their soul for a fraction of the success that man has had over the 100%. Last, you know, 10 plus years. So,
Russ has a Super Bowl with him, which is more than most people can say for the playing in the NFL. So you got to give credit where it's due.
So one last piece here, I guess, or my take. Are you done on Gettleman, Disciple? Because I think you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I think I do too.
So if the question is, do we owe him an apology? I probably do because I've said vile, vile things about him out loud and into a camera. And unnecessarily personal things. I am recalling a drunken rapid reactions after the San Francisco 49ers game where I think I may have been a little mean. But if we're talking professionally speaking, no, we don't owe him an apology. I can give him a little golf clap. I can give him a little Brett Favre golf clap, you know, right now to say, hey, you did a lot better than I thought you were going to do. I think on paper, you've had a fantastic free agency, but nobody wins in March. Find out what this team does on the field this season, because that is what he's going to be judged by. And again, can we help? I mean, I'm not going to go through the list of variabilities and possibilities, but point is that will I apologize to him if the Giants are successful this year? Yeah, you bet your sweet ass. And I will be so happy to be wrong. But standing here on March 30th, do I think he deserves an apology for waking up and having a decent free agency? Welcome to the league, brother. No, move on. Keep it going. Get the draft right, and then we can talk about apologies.
All right, well, the draft is still quite some time away. So let's talk about right now, as everything stands, what are your guys' opinion on the team? Is it better? Is it worse? Or are you think we're about the same? Give me some insight, and then I have another question to follow that up after.
Yeah, the Giants are definitely better than they were Week 17 in 2020, 100%.
And how is this different from 2016?
Both did contain spending sprees. What do you think, man?
I have so many things that I have to break down here. Do I think the Giants are better, worse, or I'm indifferent? On March 30th, I am indifferent. I think it's possible that the Giants are worse, and I will tell you why, and then we can get into 2016. In 2018, The Giants were being talked about as having potentially the best skill position unit in the NFL. And that was with a rookie Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham Jr., Sterling Shepard 3 years younger and less injuries, Evan Ingram in year two, which he had a very good rookie year despite his current standing, Red Ellison and Cody Latimer is the third receiver. That year, the Giants finished 16th in points with the 24th ranked offensive line. My question to your question is, Barkley coming off an ACL surgery, Kenny Galladay coming off a hip injury, Sterling Shepard 3 years older with multiple years of injuries, Darius Slayton, a now fifth year Evan Ingram, and Kyle Rudolph coming off a foot surgery, clearly objectively better than the list of weapons the Giants had in 2018.
Yo, when you, yes put, or no? it, you put it like that, it sounds like the Giants.
We're talking about 2020, though. Who cares about 2018?
I will make my point, but what did you say, Shaman? I didn't quite.
But hear where did 2018 come from?
I said, when you put it like that and all list off all the injuries, it sounds like the Giants are sending out the monster mash.
It's a graveyard smash.
Yeah, like Frankenstein's, there's bolts and shit. Like,
I mean, they are. It is a Frankenstein's monster.
I do think they're a little bit better. Well, Evan Ingram can't catch, all right? So we operated with Kyle Rudolph, who, again, is a little bit older, but he's an experienced tight end.
It's a different kind of tight end, too.
He can block. He's learned how to block, which Evan Ingram just doesn't do. He's also played with 9 quarterbacks in his career. 9.
That's fucking insane.
That's a lot of quarterbacks.
Let me Christian ponder that for a moment.
A lot of different experiences with a lot of different types of quarterbacks. I think it'll be
sure.
Good for David
I reiterate my question.
I think we upgraded on the tight end. I think we upgraded on the wide receiver because now we have a legitimate wide receiver.
Odell Beckham Jr. Oh, so you're telling me
we're talking about 2020, Mac? I don't know what the fuck you're talking about with 2018, bro.
Okay, because here's the point. The question was: are the Giants better or worse? And right now, the Giants just came off a year where they were 31st in offense in points and the 31st ranked offensive line in the league. And you know what the Giants did? They cut their best player by far on the offensive line and went out and signed a guy coming off an egregiously bad year for a terrible offensive line in Zach Fulton for the Houston Texans. So the point I'm making is that even in 2018, when the Giants had possibly the best collection on paper of skill positions, they still were not a good offense because they didn't have an offensive line. And that year, they were better than the Giants were last year. So again, I ask you, why are you so sure that the Giants are better now?
Joe Judge. That's the difference maker in this. And it's the culture
and the defense is also way better.
Not even
dude.
That. It's the control of the team that is now that Joe Judge has over the. You are not going to see another boat trip. You are not going to see another Lil Wayne interview on ESPN, which I don't care how good Odell is, right? He's getting shit on allegedly in Cleveland. And what's he doing out there? He's not doing anything. He got injured, which some would say Baker Mayfield might have led him into that injury with that pass he put him on. So, yeah, fuck it. I'll say it. I don't give a shit. I'm hosting once.
Let now, baby. You're in the chair.
Fucking Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes.
No, I do think we're better because of the culture that is there. Listen, injuries are injuries are injuries, right? Modern medicine's getting better. People are saying, oh, you can come back from an ACL and be better. Dalvin Cook came back from an ACL and was better, right? People can come back from injuries better. It's not unrealistic to see that. I do think the Giants are in a better position. I don't know. I don't know if their overall on Madden's going to be better than they were with Odell and all these people. I'm being honest. I don't know if they're on paper overall, but in the long run, I think we are now in a better position because the line is a lot younger. We now have a core, which is the big thing. We have young guys that are all going to build around together and grow together. We have one old guy, and that's the veteran, and he's probably going to be like a swing tackle. We have what's the average age of our line? Like 25?
Yeah,
it's young.
Like that.
That's young.
All I will say is this, and then we can talk about why it's different than 2016. All I will say is that the opportunity cost, yes, I can hear Roadhouse twitching at me saying this, but the opportunity cost between the Giants having a possibly elite defense with the addition of Adoree Jackson and retention of Leonard Williams versus the possibility of this team regressing on the offensive line, is that is the bigger piece that the gains that the Giant will make by being incrementally better on defense is not nearly as big as the negative that this Giants offense will continue to see if significant moves are not made on the there's a lot of chance being placed on hopes and wishes and prayers if the Giants aren't planning on spending the next three picks on offensive line. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, how do you know that they're not going to draft a guard with the Lovedale Roe pick or somebody to play guard like a Rashawn Slater?
They let Zeitler go. They let him walk.
I know. They cut him.
We do not need you. Goodbye. That's how I saw that movement.
But they're wrong.
You're old. We do not need you anymore. We are now a younger team. We will be getting better. We will be progressing.
Why? Young doesn't mean that they're getting better.
Yes, it does.
We hope that that is the case, but that's merely projection and hopes and prayers and wishes.
I'd like to have a good time, all right? I want to have nice dreams sometimes, and I like to think about the future and butterflies and shit, okay? I'm the shaman. I like to have happy thoughts.
But optimism.
But you can say... Yeah, I don't understand how you can't disagree or can't agree with me with saying that the culture of the team, we're not having these outside distractions and not or even inside the locker room distractions, will keep the team together. And you can, just as you said before, will rise up to the standard of play. Even worse players, they will rise up to the standard of play, to the standard of workmanship that is in that building. That's taking your own words, brother.
Okay, I just don't think that culture is going to all of a sudden make the Giants figure out how to block. You know,
Flaherty might.
That could be.
And that you didn't even think about that motherfucker. That is the wild card, the dark horse of this entire offseason. It's that man right there. Because if the Giants.
Cue Charlie, please. Let me get a Charlie drop here. Wild card!
Why was it Charlie?
Can't even make my friend more smarter. All right, fine. You guys have not convinced me, but I'm going to leave you with your moment of optimism about the Giants' young pups all of a sudden all being magically better than the second worst offensive line after cutting their best offensive line.
I'm not saying that they're better. Like I said, our Madden grade, our Madden overall is not going to be.
Oh my God,
you love this Madden?
No, because I hate the fucking game, but it's a good point of reference. All right, we're not going to be an 80 overall. We won't be, but we are in a better position. Our potential of a team has gone from normal to star. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, dude, Madden is make-believe, bro, first of all.
It's a football simulator!
No, hold on. The disrespect of Nick Gates in that game.
That's true.
He's like a 50, bro. How the fuck is he that bad? That's impossible.
Because Max rating him.
Hey, I got no problem with Gates. It's the unit as a whole. But maybe. I got some pull there at EA Sports. The other question that you asked, Shaman, and I know we're getting long in the tooth here, so I have an absurd amount of stats that I'm not going to bore. I've been working on financial projections all week, so I got a little crazy in looking at the 2016 free agent haul compared to the 2020 free agent or 21, Jesus, free agent haul. And I actually was really surprised with what I came up with. And the long and short of this is that while some in the national media are talking about this free agency reeks of desperation of Dave Gettleman, because they know he's on the hot seat. He did not nearly do as much. If he gets everything wrong, he did not do nearly as much damage as Jerry Reese did in his desperation move. So the
that
Giants
is a great
signed
point out of you.
Thank you, sir. Damon Harrison, Janoris Jenkins, and Olivier Vernon. All three of them signed five-year deals. David Gettleman signed Kenny Golladay, Dory Jackson, Leonard Williams. 4 years and then 3 years, respectively. That four is really closer to a three. Minimal, decent dead cap, but not 2 years from now cap talking about. Dory Jackson's a basically a two-year. Leonard Williams is basically a two-year. So it's we're talking about, what did we decide? It was $101 or so guaranteed million dollars in 2016 money versus about $111 guaranteed dollars in 2021 money. The cap has risen 28% in that time. That's only a 7% difference in the salary. I think the Giants got younger, better players for a better deals.
Less commitment.
When you account for inflation and with less commitment. Less risk, but higher potential.
More guaranteed money, though, no?
More guaranteed money if we're talking literal.
But it's also, it's
know,
also like thinking
not,
about
not
the market.
In time value.
Yeah. Well, it's also that was 5 years ago. And I feel like they didn't give out guaranteed money like they do now, in my opinion.
They didn't.
No.
It's a new thing. But we're also disregarding the fact that the cap's going up.
Yeah, dude, in two, 3 years.
Significantly. They just added a game.
Yeah, oh, man.
There's going to be a lot more money involved now because of one extra game.
Oh, dude, that whole – and hold on. The Super Bowl? Is now on President's Day weekend, boys. We're talking, we got that Monday off. Like, God
oh,
bless
wow.
America.
Wow. Wow, that is, yeah, yeah. Thanks, Biden.
Nah, honestly, Roger Goodell, the real MVP. Never
true,
thought I'd
true.
Say that.
Goodell 2024.
Yeah, we'll maybe. See what happens with that, though, because the Players Association apparently is not too happy, but we're not a general NFL news. Before we start moving on, we are getting a little long, but I do have one last question about free agency for you boys. And that's, you know, what's left in your eyes? Is there anybody you guys are eyeing, and is it realistically that we can afford them?
Honestly, I've kind of tuned out free agents altogether. I feel like the Giants are pretty much done except for like depth. Like we saw just now with those, three, depth signings / camp bodies. Yeah, you know, I don't think so. I think they keep it minimal. I don't think there's going to be another big fish free agent.
I agree.
I'm of the opinion after the most recent flurry of moves that the cap doesn't exist.
I don't think there's any money left. Yeah.
But apparently there you could just conjure
their remaining holes are going to be through the draft and you know to tie in we're going to have a 3-episode draft preview so get ready. Fuck.
All I'll say is this: is that the Giants signed Logan Ryan very late last year in the offseason after some injuries as they started getting into camp. I would not say that the door is closed. Mm. Again, with the money and the cap restrictions, I think there's going to be a lot of cuts after the draft as things start to settle and people are cutting down to 53
people on the
roster.
Especially post-June 1st, too. Don't
yes.
forget about June 1st.
True. To get away from to get bigger cap savings for some of those guys out there. So to answer your question, is it realistic for us to get anybody? I no longer believe in the cap, so I will say yes. I agree with Shaman that it probably won't be big splashy moves, but don't count out another depth offensive lineman, one of these veterans that gets cut from another team as we get later in the summer.
Okay, Giants fans, that is all we got for you so far. This is just the first part of the episode. Come back. We're going to have the second part, the WTF, would that look like segment for you coming up later on this week. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast and follow us on all social media platforms at Big Blue All Year.